Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Mohl ready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of paid traffic. Here's Rick.
What is up, my friends? Welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with me today. Really appreciate it. This is episode number 210, and I'm Rick Mohl ready, and I'm here to simplify online marketing for you so that you can scale and create consistent income and freedom in your business, because that's what this is all about, right? On today's show, really excited about the show today. I'm joined by Bedros Koulian, who is somebody I connected with through our mutual friend, Craig Ballantyne, who was a guest here on the show back on episode number 193, where we talked about how to use Instagram stories to sell high ticket programs and coaching services. Now, Bedros is the founder and CEO of one of the 500 fastest growing franchises in the world. It's called Fit Body Bootcamp. And his company has twice been on the Inc. 5000 list for fastest growing companies. He is a best-selling author. He's a podcaster. He's a business consultant. He's also the co-founder of over a dozen companies ranging from software to digital ad agencies, education platforms, and consulting services. Bedros is also an immigrant from a communist country turned hugely successful entrepreneur. Bedros uses the stage, TV, and social media to share his personal immigrant edge and American dream story, as he calls it, to help inspire audiences worldwide to reach their fullest potential in life and in business. Now, I asked Bedros to join me here on the show because he and his team are selling $30,000 franchises through paid traffic. That's right. Selling $30,000 franchises through paid traffic, and he's doing it very, very effectively. And today, you're going to learn his step-by-step paid traffic strategy for how he's selling his franchises, including how he targets, the ad copy, the images he uses, and how he uses case studies of other franchisees in his marketing. He's now spending about $250,000 a month on Facebook ads, and he's gotten his cost per completed interest application, which will make more sense as we get into it here with Bedros. He's gotten that cost from $200 down to $30, and he takes us through exactly how he's done that. So you're also going to learn here with Bedros how he's positioned his fitness franchise in such a crowded market. You know, the fitness business is so crowded, especially with brick and mortar locations. So he talks about how he's positioned his franchise in such a crowded market. You're going to hear how he successfully leverages brand awareness to lower his Facebook ad costs and attract the right franchisees. We talk about why the lowest cost per leads are not always a good thing when it comes to Facebook ads. That should not be something new for you guys if you've been listening to the podcast here for any period of time. We talk about how Bedros overcame issues with his Facebook ad accounts and why, despite testing ads on multiple social media platforms, Facebook is by far the most effective platform for his business. We also have a great discussion around leadership and the mindset that it takes to evolve into being a better leader. This was a really, really good interview here with Bedros, and I'm really excited to bring him here to you today. So without further ado, let's go hang out with Bedros Koulian. Bedros, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Thank you so much for having me, Rick. I'm doing fantastic.
Awesome. Awesome. It's so good to have you here. And we got connected through our mutual friend, Craig Ballantyne, who was on the podcast here before. And we were talking with Craig. We're talking about how he's using Instagram stories to sell his high ticket, quote unquote, live workshops, and really successfully. And that was very well received from AOPT Nation here. And when we got connected, Craig was sharing with me how you're using paid traffic to sell $25,000 franchises, fitness franchises.
So, yeah, and in fact, we just raised the price 2 months ago to $30,000, and the metrics actually improved.
Okay, I want to dive into all that. Awesome. Before we dive into that, share with everybody a little bit about who you are and what you've been doing.
Sure. So, truth be told, I'm the immigrant edge of the American dream. We escaped from a communist country when I was 6 years old in 1980 from Armenia and came to the United States, broke, poor, and didn't speak the language or understand the culture. And my dad was this big proponent of the American way, freedom, opportunity, capitalism in a communist country. So you can imagine that didn't go well. So when we came out here, about 4 years later, he worked many odd jobs. And 4 years later, he opened up a tiny little tailor shop. And I had the good privilege to work in his tailor shop after school. So they'd pick my mom and dad would pick me up from the elementary school. And I'd go to my dad's shop. And I very quickly learned customer service. And I saw when my dad would mess up someone's work, like he'd saw on a button that was too close or too tight. Mm-hmm. He apologized immediately and would make it right for free. Or if he was going to be late on something, he would call people and give them he'd always kind of exceed expectations by way of communication. And so I learned customer service and entrepreneurship through my dad and his little tailor shop. And growing up as a kind of a fat, overweight kid, because when you come from a foreign country, you just discover all this food in America and you eat it, not realizing that bologna and cheese and peanut butter and white bread probably aren't the best things for you. So Senior year of high school, man, I was like 40 pounds overweight, and I wanted to ask this girl, Nakaya, out to the prom. So the summer before senior year, I decided, I decided I'm going to go get a gym membership, and I asked a friend in one of my classes to help me start working out. He was on the football team. And so the summer of senior year, I lost the weight by working out and eating right, to learn how to eat right. And when I came back senior year, man, I was a different person, more confidence, higher self-esteem, and never really asked Nakai out to the prom because I didn't quite have the balls to ask her out. Mm-hmm. But the good news was my trajectory in life. I knew I wanted to be a personal trainer the moment I left high school. And so I became a personal trainer, got certified as a trainer right out of high school. Like I was like 19, 20 years old and already certified. Didn't have many clients, so I worked multiple side jobs. I was a fry cook at Disneyland and a bouncer at a bar. But all I wanted to do was train clients. And thankfully, one of my personal training clients, when you're training people one-on-one, the only people who can really afford you are people who are affluent or entrepreneurs.
Sure.
And
yeah.
So, dude, I didn't even realize, Rick, I had built-in mentors, right? Mm. And so
yeah, that's true.
One of my personal training clients, his name is Jim Franco. He said, look, all you do is complain about your two side jobs, but I don't see you doing anything to learn how to sell or market yourself better. And I said, well, what do you mean? He says, tomorrow I'm going to bring you a cassette tape and I need you to listen to it. And it was a cassette tape from Tom Hopkins on real estate sales. And so Tom Hopkins led to Brian Tracy, and Brian Tracy led to Zig Ziglar, and that led to Dan Kennedy and Tony Robbins. And before you know it, I'm learning influence and marketing and sales and persuasion and finding a niche. And ultimately, didn't take but a couple of years, I had my first personal training studio. And within a couple of years after that, I had four more gyms right where you live throughout San Diego, North yep. County, San Diego. Mm-hmm. And man, I got to tell you, my world had opened up because I was an amazing technician as a personal trainer, but I was a horrible marketer and salesperson of my services. So, you fast forward from there, I sold those five personal training gyms in 2002, went into coaching and consulting personal trainers because I was really good at what I was doing at that point and teaching other trainers how to do that. And I was using the internet as my platform to find personal trainers who had gyms, but they were struggling, and then taught them how I would market. And then in 2008, when the economy crashed, I realized that not a lot of personal trainers are staying in business because, well, people can't afford one-on-one personal training anymore.
Sure.
But I did realize that there's this little niche market in our space in the fitness industry called fitness boot camps that were happening outdoors. And truth be told, they were a bit of an afterthought for personal trainers. It was almost like, oh yeah, in addition to personal training, I also make some side money running boot camps on weekends or in the evenings. But I knew that if now the economy has crashed, if we can move this boot camp model indoors, we can scale it across the entire country, and it could be the definition of the new personal training model. Instead of one-on-one sessions for $600 to $800 a month, now you're working one-on-many, one trainer, many clients, and the clients are paying like $149 to $169 a month.
Sure.
And that's where I created Fit Body Bootcamp out of the recession. By 2010, we were a licensed program. By 2012, I franchised, and from 2012 to now, we have nearly 700 locations worldwide.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. When you got the you got the personal training bug, and then you said you opened up your first gym. Did you know you were that you wanted to open up that gym first, like back then, or was it because you said that you were learning? You know, you got introduced to Dan Kennedy and Zig Ziglar and all that stuff like that. Was that an aspiration of yours, or were you just kind of going with it? And as opportunities presented themselves, you were jumping on it because of the stuff that you were learning.
Good question. And you know, any fitness guy or gal listening to this who follow you, Rick, are going to resonate with my next statement. When you're a personal trainer, the big box gyms are like the trenches, man. Like they are the gutters. As a personal trainer, and I have tons of respect for the LA Fitness, 24 Hour Fitness, Lifetime Fitness, all those places now. But back then, you know, you're getting paid $11 an hour. They're taking majority of the money, obviously, the location is, and rightfully so. I mean, they've got fish in a barrel, and your job is to go close them and train them.
Yeah.
And then when you don't have clients, you're racking up weights and wiping down people's sweat. And, you know, when you get certified as a personal trainer, Rick, you don't necessarily think that, gosh, I can't wait to go re-rack weights and wipe down some fat guy's sweat, right?
Yeah.
And so truth be told, I was like, what the hell, man? And now I got to be prospecting, because I guess I assumed that they're going to give me clients because I'm a certified trainer. Now you want me to go harass people who are on the back machine or the chest machine or the cardio machine. And, oh, that's gross. I don't want to prospect. And so when Jim Franco completely changed my paradigm, he said, you're doing these people a disservice by not selling them properly, by not approaching them properly, by freaking them out when you approach them because you look so awkward.
Right.
And so originally, I knew because the gym was so, it was such the gutter, such a trenches for me that I just wanted out. And all I could hope for was, well, when I have my own gym, things are going to be different. No one's going to sweat and people are going to clean up after themselves. They're going to re-rack their weights and I'm going to be a full-time trainer. So I did have the aspirations to open up my own gym. But truth be told, it was also like saying, one day I'm going to go to Mars. Until I met my client, Jim Franco, who was like, hey, here's actually a blueprint for you to own your own small personal training gym. That led to that.
Interesting. And that's what you, I mean, obviously it's evolved over the years, but that's the blueprint, if you will, that you pass on to your franchisees now, I'm assuming. Like some element of that, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. That is exactly what I pass on to them. And I later heard Grant Cardone say this in his book, 10X Rule, that if you are good at what you do, if your product is superior to every other product in your industry or your service is superior, then you have a duty. I think he said you have a duty and an obligation to outsell, outmarket your competition, because if you don't, then the customers are buying a lesser product or service and you're doing them a disservice. I'm a believer in that. I heard it once from my mentor back in the 90s. I heard it again from Grant Cardone, who I look up to and value. Yeah.
So, I mean, that brings up a good point. And obviously, fitness is such a crowded space. And I want to talk, how do you position yourself? How do you teach not only... Well, let's take it from the angle of how are you teaching the franchisees to position themselves in such a crowded market?
Oh, very good question. So I saw years ago that the fitness industry was evolving. So around 2007, I noticed that people were going away from the big box gyms that offered, hey, here's a weight room of equipment and cardio machines. And oh, by the way, there's a aerobics class that offers kickboxing and, you know, Tai Bo and you know, some power, wacky little power workout thing. Mm-hmm. And I realized that there's going to be these micro gyms that are going to offer just personal training or just boot camps or just kickboxing. In fact, one of my dear friends, and early on, he was a coaching client when he started this, his franchise, I Love Kickboxing. He's got about 600, 700, 800 locations worldwide. And when I met him in 2009, he goes, I'm your success story that you're going to hear about years from now. But right now, you don't know who I am. My name is Michael Perella. And I said, what do you want to do? He goes, I want to take kickboxing and turn it into a franchise. Dude, they were giving away kickboxing inside of big box gyms for free.
Right.
They were giving away group training inside of big box gyms for free. Yet I had this feeling because I saw, once the internet connected the world, I saw that people were looking for these micro things, Pilates, yoga, boot camp, CrossFit, right? That's just strength and power. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, I'm going to create something for the market that is unserved. Because at the time, Curves was serving women, and they had, dude, at their peak, Curves had over 15,000 locations worldwide.
Holy cow, really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But what they were not doing, and obviously, you know, being someone who teaches marketing, is I'm sure you teach this, is, hey, when you market and you get your leads and turn them into clients, you better deliver the unicorn that you promised and not a donkey.
Yeah.
And Curves was notorious for delivering a donkey. People would sign up, these women. The place was non-intimidating, no mirrors, all of that good stuff, which was great, but they weren't getting results and nobody was holding them accountable. Mm. And so I said, I'm going to create a personal training program that's in a group environment that does everything Curves didn't. Curves almost had it right. We do all the personal training stuff. We do fitness evals every 4 weeks. We focus on their nutrition. If they miss a workout session, we don't even call it classes. They miss a workout session, we follow up with them with text, social media, and phone call. And we really want to get our clients in there. And we make sure they're getting results. We make sure they're challenging their bodies and not just to go through the routine like Curves did. And I'm not pissing on Curves. I'm just saying that typically the first to market doesn't survive because the next guy or gal to come sees what they did wrong and innovates on that faster. And so I knew that the fitness industry was going to splinter into micro niches. And I was first to jump on that bandwagon, and I've been very fortunate to be able to ride that wave.
It's such a good lesson there. So for everybody listening, guys, I mean, this is, I mean, we obviously want the reason I asked that question is because this is, and I didn't honestly know where Bedros was going to go with that, but listening to how Bedros just answered that question, I mean, this is completely relevant to regardless of what business that you're in, you know, positioning yourself in such a way so that you stand out. And Bedros is serving a niche and he's doing it better. He saw what was working, but he saw areas for improvement. So be thinking about that. We talked about that on the podcast here recently, a couple episodes ago, with Kira Hug. We were talking about positioning and you know, the different levels of market sophistication and so forth. So, you know, be thinking about your business and how you can stand out from when we're in a crowded space, how we can stand out from that and do things better. So Bedros, thank you for that and taking us through that.
Yeah. You know, what's funny about that too, Rick, is as you just nailed it, you said how to do things better. And the internal quote we have here at the headquarters is, we do one thing and we do it better than anybody else. And we serve women in group personal training. You know, our logo, our look and feel inside of our facilities, our marketing, even the face of our company. Right now, we're using Brooke Burke as the face of our upcoming New Year's challenge. Like, she is the ideal avatar because she's a mom, almost in her 50s, right? She's in her late 40s, four kids. Like, our clientele is not even the millennial female. It is like the 35 plus to 60 year old female, and everything about our marketing, our design, our language patterns is used to attract them.
I love it.
And the 12% of our clientele who are male are usually the husbands, the brothers, or some kind of a sibling or something. That come in, we don't even market to men.
Yeah, and obviously that starts with having a very clear and deep understanding of who your target audience is, so that,
correct,
like to your point, all your marketing efforts can be centered and honed in on that particular target audience. So you mentioned in the very beginning that the franchises are $30,000 instead of $25,000, and you are selling these $30,000 franchises through paid traffic. How are you doing that? Let's start in the very beginning. Like, how is that happening?
Well, you know what? I got to tell you, it was a bit of dumb luck. I wish I can say, you know, because I'm really brilliant, Rick, but I'm not. Again, having sold my five personal training gyms in 2002, and of course went online with actually a piece of software called High Tech Trainer, which was an online personal training software which I built, but it failed miserably, and I you know, closed it down. But I knew I wanted to help personal trainers get better at what they were doing by way of the marketing and selling was concerned in business systems. And so I was using the internet. I was writing blog posts and doing email marketing and buying Google ads, etc. And then when Facebook came about, I started buying Facebook ads. At the time, they were simple, right? They were just on that right-hand column.
Sure, yeah.
And I was like, holy hell, this is cool. So when I started the franchise, I went back to my internet marketing ways because that's all I knew. And, you know, here, like all my competitors and every franchise is advertising in Forbes and Inc. and Entrepreneur Magazine. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. They want $20,000 for a full-page ad? That's ridiculous. You know how much traffic I can buy for $20,000?
Right.
So as we started Fit Body Bootcamp, we realized that, wait a minute, Inc. and Entrepreneur and Forbes and Success and Fast Company, all these entrepreneurial magazines have fan pages and we can target these people. And so I was taking the money that I should have been spending inside of, well, thankfully I didn't, in on these publications.
Yeah.
And we were buying traffic. And right from the get-go, I knew that I wasn't going to be like every other franchise that said, we are unique, we're different, turnkey system. God, the word turnkey is used so much in the franchise world. Turnkey system, support, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, vomit, right? Mm-hmm. And instead, my whole thing was, what are people? They're skeptical. What do they want? Proof. Who do they want it from? People who are actually seeing success and not from me. I could say how awesome Fit Body Bootcamp is all day long. I can say how awesome Rick, our franchisee, is and how he's killing it. But unless they hear and see Rick, and so I realized again, now through social media, Facebook ads, et cetera, YouTube ads, we can create case studies. So I was one, I was, as far as I know, I'm probably still one of the only franchisees, probably not so much anymore. I've got a team of four video media guys that we send out to our franchise locations and we'll take an entire, like, we'll make a whole video out of it. How they started, they were a struggling personal trainer, or maybe this person was a school teacher who loved fitness and wanted to open up her gym, but she really didn't know the marketing systems. Then she stumbled upon Fit Body Bootcamp, and within 3 months, she was profitable. Within 6 months, she was already looking for a second location. So what we're really doing is putting up our owners' case studies up on social media, and we run paid traffic to it, about $200,000, $250,000 a month in paid traffic is what we do on Facebook alone. And it's all case study videos that lead to one simple question. Would you like to see if there's a Fit Body Bootcamp territory available in your area? Not apply to become a Fit Body owner. Would you just like to see this next step? Mm. We show them a case study. Would you like to see the next step? And of course, you know, if so, click the link, right? They click the link in the ad and they go and enter your name, email, and zip code to see if there's a Fit Body Bootcamp in your area available, territory. It's a very simple ask, because when we did, again, what other franchisees did, we saw the cost of an application was about $180 to fill out a full application on our website. Today, an application, or what we call an EOI, expression of interest form, is we're paying right around $30 as of last week.
A completed form?
Completed form.
Wow.
So look at the difference.
Yeah.
And that's because step one was give us your name, email, phone number, and zip code. Mm-hmm. Step two is now they fall on the EOI page, expression of interest form, the big application with those three fields populated. And it says, hey, step two, you're just one step away. Just fill out the rest. Give us your financials. Tell us how many locations you want. Can you come out to our university, our four-day university, if you're chosen to be a Fit Body owner? So we ask some more in-depth questions. And so the people who fill out that second application to complete the form, they are highest of priority. And so our sales team of six follow up with them. The people who just filled up the first form, name, email, phone number, and zip code, they're only followed upon when we don't have, when we've exhausted our leads. But these days we pretty much no follow up with them because we have a surplus of leads.
Sure.
And our process has always been about putting a case study. Like if we're going to target architects who read Entrepreneur Magazine, well, we've got an architect who's a Fit Body Bootcamp owner.
And so
cops, so many cops who are Fit Body Bootcamp owners. So we got LA County Sheriff's Deputy, a San Bernardino County Sheriff's Deputy, Anaheim Police Department. We take their case studies about how they're active, they're into fitness, they no longer want to be police officers for all the obvious reasons that we hear about today, and they decided to open up a gym, but they made the decision to join FitBot. And when you hear it from their mouths instead of my mouth, it's infinitely more believable than the founder saying, we're great, and cops and teachers and architects and personal trainers love us.
It's so smart. I have so many questions that come out of that. So I love how you're targeting, you know, the different types of jobs. So you said, like, if we have architect owners, you're targeting architects. If you have, you know, if you're in law enforcement, you know, here's an example of a law enforcement, you know, police officer who's owning a franchise or two, and you're sharing that story. So you're not tying yourself to the stereotypical type of audience that you would normally think of for fitness. You're not going after just fitness people.
No, not at all.
You're sharing them a business opportunity. You're saying, look at this person's just like you and look what they've done.
That's exactly right. Because, and I see this in my head, somewhere in some building across every city across the country, there's an architect, an accountant, a school teacher that's looking at their peers and going, you fat effers, I can't believe you guys are out of shape. You guys eat that junk. You're falling asleep at 2 in the afternoon. And this guy or gal who's an architect, a teacher, a cop, a accountant, you fill in the blank. Like, we've got them all, man. Mm-hmm. They're an architect. Yes, true. Great. And they work for someone, but they're also into fitness. And it's only going to take so long before they have that entrepreneurial seizure and decide, you know what? I also love fitness. I am an architect, but I also love fitness. I believe this should be my passion and purpose. I don't think I'm really making a big impact in people's lives as an architect or an accountant. I'm going to go pursue this. And when they do, they see our ads.
I love it. In the case study, so in the ad itself, you are showing them the case study that's relevant to them, to their specific type of job or whatever. And then from a copy perspective, are you alluding to, you know, a fit body franchise at this point, this early in the funnel, or how are you positioning the case study video in the ad?
Question. So in the actual ad, every single one starts off with a couple of emojis, obviously to get mm-hmm. attention, mm-hmm. you know, the person working out, and usually the little fire flame emoji. And then it says, meet Rick. He's a traffic buyer and buys traffic for, you know, used to buy traffic for so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Now he's a Fit Body Bootcamp owner and he owns his location. And we'll be very specific. He owns his location in downtown San Diego. He's been open for so long. We can't give away numbers because the Federal Trade Commission is stupid and doesn't let me share numbers. So I'm like, oh man, you should have seen how I almost got fined $4 million from the state of California. Because as a marketer, when I have coaching clients, I can go, hey, my client's making $2 million, $3 million, $4 million a year. Once I became a franchisor and I said, our franchisees are making this kind of money, the state of California put the crackdown on me, man. And
really?
Yeah. The Federal Trade Commission oversees us just like they do with like Wall Street.
Sure.
And so I can say that Rick is, he bought a new home and he's got multiple cars and he takes many vacations. I can imply your success, but I can't give specifics because that means I'm promising that every franchisee can have success.
Yeah.
So that's really what we do is meet Rick. He's a Fit Body Bootcamp owner who also used to be a traffic buyer, an accountant, an architect, a dentist, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And his location is in this place and he's been open 6 months and he's already upgraded his house and his car and his wife and his family to fly first class. And he loves opening up running a Fit Body Bootcamp franchise because the systems are predictable. The support is fanatical. And he gets to impact the people in his community that he wants to serve. And best of all, the income allows him to live the lifestyle that he wants. So it's vague enough copy.
Yeah,
but
I love
let
it.
Him know that who you are, what you do, how long you've been open. And so if you want to see if a Fit Body Bootcamp is available in your area, just click the link and we'll let you know. It's very benign.
Yeah. I like that. I like that because it's not, you're not turning them off, it's a very soft sell, basically.
Yeah, very soft.
You're piquing their interest. You're like, oh, okay, cool. I'm interested in this. And they watch the video, become more interested. And then again, it's that to the, you know, fill out the information, you know, the name and the zip code and so forth. And then from there into the form and then from there into the sales team. My question for you is, obviously this is working for you now. It's $30 per completed form. How long did it take you to like really refine this, this whole strategy?
Okay, let me just tell you this. In 2015, we finally hit the top 15 franchises. And at that time, I always use like dates as markers. And at that time, we were paying close to about $185, close to $200 an mm-hmm. EOI, expression of interest form. 2016, 17, 18, we hit on Inc. Magazine's top 5,000 3 years in a row, and Entrepreneur 500. And each year it kept going down by $30, $40. So this is like a 3 year
yep.
journey of constantly chipping away at the cost of the EOI, a full EOI filled out. Now there's probably other variables, right?
Sure.
The more I get out there and, you know, when Steve Jobs talks, we all went and bought the product. Mm-hmm. And so the more I get out there, I realize the more I'm out there, the cheaper the cost per click gets because people trust me.
Yep.
So they see the CEO on podcasts and whatever, magazines, et cetera. And then they see our commercials or our ads, they're more likely to buy. So I can't just say that we've gotten so brilliant at targeting.
Yeah.
there's other factors that are just,
sure.
I could build my celebrity, right? The Inc. 5000, Inc. 500, Entrepreneur 500, all those things helped. When you drive around town, when we have 700 locations, you see more Fit Body boot camps around town than you did when we had 300 locations.
Sure,
That's a force multiplier. Yeah.
But you recognize that, you know, you recognize like, you know what, the more I do this, the more that this is helping, these costs come down and making it easier to sell these franchises, which what you're trying to do. So, you know, this is another one of those things where we talk so much here in the podcast about testing, you know, testing different things, not giving up after, oh, this didn't work after 2 weeks and we're going to keep refining this, and using the leverage, if you will, of brand awareness and all this other stuff to help bring those costs down and improve the results of everything that you're doing outside of the brand awareness marketing that you're doing is all part of it. It's all part of the holistic approach to marketing your business there.
Truly. But you hit the nail on the head, man. I can't tell you how many times we've had our ad account shut down by Facebook, and we didn't just like, oh, well, let's go buy ads from Entrepreneur Magazine now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we fought to get that open. We fought to open up more accounts. We fought to have multiple accounts open at the same time. There was a time we were getting leads for a lot cheaper than $30, but mm-hmm. what we realized was they are not targeted. So the traffic that we were buying, because using the old internet marketing mindset, hey, I just want a lower cost per lead. Well, I don't want to trade out quality in my space for a lower cost, because
totally.
A franchise purchase, you know, you're paying $30,000 up front and then $1,000 a month for 7 years for your franchise royalty fees. That's not an impulse purchase. Like, an impulse purchase is like the plastic credit card knife that I bought when I was on Facebook looking at pictures of my cousin's graduation.
Right,
and I saw the credit card knife, and I think it was like Ryan Dice or something, someone marking. I'm like, I gotta have 10 of those.
Sure.
One for all my friends, right? And that's an impulse purchase because time's running out. We only have 1,000 made. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
With a franchise, man, it's an educated, informed decision. I can't use scarcity tactics other than I can use curiosity, see if there's a territory available, and that piques their curiosity, and that's enough of a hook that I need to pull them in.
What kind of problems was Facebook having with it in the shutting the accounts down?
Truth be told, we were being a little aggressive.
Okay.
And this is when I didn't even know the Federal Trade Commission oversaw franchises, because, again, ignorance is bliss.
So yeah. I'm
very entrepreneurial oriented. So, hey, we got a franchise. Let's market the hell out of it.
Sure.
So they were saying, hey, you're making these what they considered unreasonable claims.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
How can they make $100,000 a month already within the first 90 days? It's like, well, because we do a lot of pre-marketing and we season them, and then we have a big launch and we do the 21 days for $21, and then we teach them how to group close.
Yeah.
But, you know, Facebook was like, that's not possible. And so they were shutting us down.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Now, you mentioned too that, so you're spending, you said between $200,000 and $250,000 a month on Facebook. You mentioned you're doing YouTube as well.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure that you're comparing the results between the platforms. Where are you seeing, is Facebook the best platform for you from a results standpoint? Or are you seeing really good results from the other platforms as well?
100% Facebook is the best platform for us. That said, I've been advertising on Facebook since the day it came out.
Sure.
And so we just started YouTube about 6 months ago. We're definitely getting leads. So of the 20, 25 locations that we sell per month, 2 to 3 will be YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
3 to 4 will be off my email list of the, you know, personal trainers that mm-hmm. I've been coaching and consulting for years, about mm-hmm. 30,000 trainers. And then the majority are from Facebook traffic ads.
Awesome. I love it. I want to ask you one more question before we wrap up, because I know that this is a big part of your messaging and what you're really passionate about. And, you know, this is kind of stuff that we've started to talk about here on the podcast more recently, and just really thinking bigger and looking down the road for what type of business that you want to have and the type of mindset that you need to have in place in order to do that. Can you talk a little bit about that and just sort of, you know, thinking bigger than, you know, I want to have, you know, some people are like, all right, well, I want to have a $50,000 a year business or a $100,000 a year business, when they really and truly could be thinking much bigger than that and starting to act that way now. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. And I got to tell you again, it goes back to duty and obligation. If your business has the potential to be $100 million a year business, then you've got the duty and obligation to get it there. Because if you're only thinking about, I want to have a $50,000 a year business because, or a $50,000 a month business, mm-hmm. because, you know, hey, that'll serve my lifestyle, et cetera, then you're being selfish. And the most toxic thing we can be in life is selfish. We're here to serve and we're here to have a purpose. And if you've chosen to get into whatever industry you're in, you probably ought to serve that industry and serve it to your fullest potential. So in my particular case, I learned that lesson the hard way, because in 2010, like I said, we started selling it as a licensed program. Mm-hmm. We franchised in 2012, but by 2013, we were actually struggling as a franchise. We were losing more franchisees than gaining because I rested on my laurels. Like, hey, we got enough people. We had about 200 owners at the time. We're doing okay. We're doing great. All of a sudden, my team grows. I haven't evolved into a better leader. I didn't become the leader I was supposed to be as my franchise grew, because I was still running it like I'm a marketer and it was a product, instead of I'm the CEO and leader, and this is a franchise, not just a product. It's like a 7-year commitment. People are signing a lease, sure, all over the world, you know, for a storefront, and they're building it out. Like, I have this responsibility to them. And so, dude, we were losing more franchises in 2013 every month than we were gaining, and it was because of poor leadership in my position, and because of complacency. I settled for the money we were making instead of the money that we had the potential to make. Mm. Ironically, here's a great lesson that I learned from that. I became a better leader, number one. I actually started learning about leadership, and in fact, next month a book of mine comes out called Man Up. It's about entrepreneurial leadership. But the bigger thing was, as I decided, forget this, I'm going all in. Like, I'm going to make Fit Body Bootcamp a $100 million organization, and I'm going to take it all the way to the moon. We're going to have 2,500 locations worldwide, because I know that would be our capacity. And so that's where we're headed. What I realized very quickly is people think they need $50,000 a month or whatever, let's say $80,000, whatever it is they want to make. But they make that decision based on their current lifestyle, mm. and current age and current health. And here's what happened to me. 6 months ago, my mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And guess what? We can take her to the best doctors in Newport Beach, get her the best brain scans, get her on the best trial medication to slow down. You can't stop Alzheimer's, but yep. you can slow it down, right? Just 3 weeks ago, my sister's roof sank in, or her ceiling of her second floor, because there was a pipe leak internally. Guess what? I could just write a fat check to my sister. And we forget that. And if you're married, then you have two sets of parents you have to worry about who are getting old, mm-hmm. and you have kids who might fall and hurt themselves, or you have, God forbid, another catastrophe happens, like airplanes hitting another World Trade Center. So we forget the money that we need for the future. We just assume that things are going to be the way they are, and I can survive off 50 G's a month. So in fact, I realized, wait a minute, if I'm here to serve, and I was a kid that came to this country, I was a foreigner, and the first couple Christmases, we didn't have a Christmas tree, let alone a Christmas gift. Mm-hmm. Well, I always talk about helping charities and causes. Well, when am I going to effing start making enough money to help these charities and causes? So in 2015, we went all in, thanks to Craig, our mutual friend. Mm-hmm. Craig and his business partner, Matt Smith, in Early to Rise, did the first Toys for Tots drive in Denver.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years ago. Since then, I've adopted Toys for Tots. We do $250,000 every year to Toys for Tots. Shriners Children's Hospital, we're a seven-figure contributor to Shriners Children's Hospital, and we've got 97 kids adopted through Compassion International. And I still want to donate and contribute more. So I realize I have greater potential. Fit Body Bootcamp has greater potential, and I have to make the kind of money for the future that's uncertain and unknown. I don't want to be a pessimist.
Sure.
I'm just a realist. And yep. so when people are like, hey, you know, I only need $50,000 a month or $80,000 a month, my thing is just reach for your potential and start stepping into your leadership shoes now. Become the marketer that you need to be when you're making 7 figures, 8 figures. Become the communicator, the decision maker, the team builder that you need to be now, so that when you are there, you don't have a collapse on you like it did on me in 2013.
I love it. You guys, you and Craig Balanton have an amazing podcast, Empire Podcast. You've got the book coming out, Man Up. Is there a subtitle, or is it just called Man Up?
There is a subtitle. It's Man Up, How to Cut the Bullshit and Kick Ass in Business and in Life.
Okay,
and
cool.
It's about the 6 pillars of leadership that I forced myself to learn so that I could turn Fit Body Bootcamp from failure to fortunes.
Okay, and when does that come out?
September 18th.
September 18th. Okay, awesome. Where else can people connect with you, and where can they, is there a place they can go to learn more about the book as well?
Yeah, two places. So they can just go to manup.com to learn more about the book and actually take a quiz to see if they are a fighter jet or a crop duster.
You really got that domain?
Yes, I do. But I get offered, the most I've gotten offered for it is $600,000 from Brick.com several years ago. Manup.com.
Nice.
And what a great title, right? And so, or they can just find me on Instagram or Facebook, at Bedros Koulian.
Okay, awesome. We'll link everything up in the show notes for the episode here today. Bedros, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for taking us through and being open and transparent about what you guys are doing. Really appreciate it. And I want to have you back on at some point again in the future to kind of do another follow-up episode for what you guys are doing down the road, because as you mentioned, you're only getting bigger and better as time goes on. So thanks again, man.
Thank you for the opportunity, Rick. I really appreciate it, brother.
Hey, big question for the online experts and Facebook ad managers who still haven't cracked the code to consistent growth using Facebook ads. What if one weekend could save you time, money, and energy for the rest of your Facebook ads journey? And part two to that question, what's the biggest difference between those who see big time growth with ease and those who ride the revenue roller coaster and can never seem to crack the code for scalable and sustainable growth in their business? The answer to that is action. Yes, that's right. You heard me right. Because you've taken action, right? You've tested and you've tweaked and you've researched for days. You're certainly no lazy bones Facebook ads noob, right? You're listening to the podcast here. But have you taken what I call leveraged action? That's right. Leverage action. Because taking leverage action means spending your time and energy on what's going to make the biggest impact and shelving everything else. You listen to the show here, you know that Facebook ads are part of that equation, right? But when you sit down to make conversion magic happen, frustration shortly ensues, right? You know that a repeatable framework for successful Facebook ad campaigns can make a huge life-changing impact on your bottom line. And when it comes to sorting out all the logistics, the endless questions, the latest best practices, and time and money saving hacks, you're stumped though, and Google isn't giving you the answers that you need. So are you ready to take leverage action and learn more in one weekend than many Facebook marketers spend years trying to figure out? Well, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm really excited to introduce you to FBA Live. FBA Live is my intimate Facebook ads implementation workshop here in sunny San Diego, California. And FBA Live is where you're going to learn cutting edge Facebook ad strategies, tips, and tactics that are working right now to grow and automate your business. This is an exclusive event. It's limited to just 75 people because this is an opportunity to implement and improve with the help of my expert team and me, your Facebook ads. So you can walk away with a Facebook ad strategy in place that will finally allow you to grow your business on near autopilot. And if you're already running Facebook ads when you come into the event, you're going to leave that event with your Facebook ads doing much, much better. So if you'd like to learn more and hear from past attendees, grab your spot. Just go to rickmulready.com/FBA Live. Again, that link is rickmulready.com/FBA Live. All right, my friends, thanks so much for listening to the show here. Really appreciate you and I appreciate your attention each and every week. Coming up later this week, I've got another awesome quick tip episode coming your way. So until then, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Don't worry, there's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link and you can go download it right now for free.